We're going to start a new sermon series this week. And for the next 7 weeks, we're going to talk about the seven deadly sins. Now, I have to say before we get started with this that you're not going to like this very much, because we typically don't want to talk about sin, and particularly we don't want to talk about our sin. We don't want to acknowledge that there might be ways that we could change, that we could do things differently, that there might be things in our lives that we don't like very much, that we struggle with. But I want to encourage you, because I think that it only comes when we really examine our own sin, our own faults, our own tendency to do the wrong thing, that we really understand what God has done for us in Christ. And so that's where we're going. And today, we're going to begin with the sin of gluttony. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, we are going to read from Philippians chapter 3. I'm going to begin with verse 17, and I'm going to read down through verse 21 of Philippians chapter 3. Dear brothers and sisters, pattern your lives after mine and learn from those who follow our example. For I have told you often before, and I say it again with tears in my eyes, that there are many whose conduct shows that they are really enemies of the cross of Christ. They are headed for destruction. Their God is their appetite. They brag about shameful things, and they think only about life here on earth. But we are citizens of heaven, where the Lord Jesus Christ lives, and we are eagerly awaiting for him to return as our Savior. He will take our weak mortal bodies and change them into glorious bodies like his own, using the same power with which he will bring everything under his control. May the Lord add a blessing to both the hearing and the reading of his holy word, and let us pray together. We thank you, God, for the opportunity once again we have to gather as a community of faith and worship. And Lord, we thank you for the way that your Holy Spirit has moved through our gathering thus far. And we pray that your Spirit would continue to move among us. Especially I pray that in the next few minutes that I might decrease in this place in order that Jesus Christ might increase. And I pray, Lord, that my words would be your words. And I pray, God, that you would open our ears, open our minds, but most of all, dear God, open our hearts, that you would help us to hear and receive what you have for us today. And Lord, as we have heard it, as we have received it, may we be transformed by it. May your words not be simply information for us, but indeed, Lord, may we find transformation in your words as we encounter you by the presence of the Spirit and in the Scriptures. All this we ask in the name of your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It's in his name that we pray together, saying amen. I grew up in a household where the last thing that you ever wanted to do was to leave something on your plate. Are you with me? My mother was a good cook. My mother loved for us to eat, and she encouraged us to eat as much as we could and as often as we could. And that was probably okay when I had the metabolism of a 10-year-old. But I don't know about you, but my metabolism's a little different as I've grown to be an adult, and particularly as I've grown older. And one of the things that I understand is that we have got to be careful about what we put into our mouths. You know, today we're going to talk about the sin of gluttony, and it's remarkable to me that as we think about gluttony, as I look back over the scriptures, the interesting thing about gluttony is that we typically associate gluttony with eating too much, overeating, eating more than we need. But the fascinating thing to me as I think about the sin of gluttony is that the original sin that came into the world through Adam and Eve, as we are told in the book of Genesis, came when they took a bite. Did you ever think about that? It came when they ate. Original sin came to all of us through Adam and Eve, and through what happened in that garden, and through the fact that God gave them many good things to eat, but he told them one thing not to eat, and that's exactly what they did. And that's where sin comes from. And that's where sin comes into our lives. Now, we don't typically like to think about gluttony being a sin because most of us don't want to think about having not to eat. We really don't. We like the fact that we have a variety. We like the fact that we have food that we can eat that not only nourishes us, but it comforts us, doesn't it? Don't you like those words? Comfort food. I had to think about comfort food last night because we were eating at Cracker Barrel and I had chicken and dumplings and macaroni and cheese and green beans and cornbread. And you'll talk about, oh man, comfort food. But I felt guilty every bite I took because I thought, tomorrow, son, you've got to get up and talk about gluttony, okay? You know, it's a good thing I didn't get dessert. I would have been in trouble. But when we think about gluttony, what we really need to think about, and what Paul says to the church at Philippi, is that there are some whose God is their appetite. Did you hear that from the scripture? There are some people whose God is their appetite. And you see, what makes gluttony a sin for us is that anytime we engage in gluttony, whether it's with food or anything else, what it means is that we could have stopped at a certain point and been satisfied, but we kept going. We could have stopped at a certain point. We could have been satisfied, but we decided to keep on going. And particularly, that's harmful to us as we eat. Now, I'm going to tell you, I love candy. I don't know how many of you in here love candy, but your pastor loves candy. And particularly, I love these little things called M&Ms. Now, really, y'all, when you look at an M&M, who could not like this cute little M&M? I mean, really. Chocolate with a little candy coating around it. Who could not like M&Ms? I mean, you know, it'd be great. And you know, every M&M, you know, one M&M only has 3.4 calories? Only 3.4. There's only half a gram of sugar in one M&M and only 0.2 of a gram of fat. That's it. That's it. So, why in the world would anybody be against an M&M? Well, I'm going to tell you why. It would be fine if we could just do this. Oh, it's wonderful. Wonderful. It'd be fine if that's what we could do, and that's where we stopped. But I don't know about you, but a typical serving size of M&Ms for me looks like this. Are you with me? It's not one. It's. And I'm going to tell you, this package says, this is bothering me. I have to read this. There's actually 8 servings in this package. And I don't want to read the rest of it. It's depressing. It's depressing. But you know, the thing about gluttony is that when our God, as Paul says, when our God becomes our appetite, when we are going to do whatever we want to do, that could be a definition of sin, couldn't it? When we're going to not stop when we know we should stop, when we are going to say, I have no control over what I'm doing, I'm granting control to something else, when we're giving up our free will and saying, hey, I just do whatever I want to do, that's kind of the definition of sin, isn't it? That's kind of what sin really is. It's really saying we have no control. That I have no choice. I have no opportunity to do something different. Indeed, that I can't just eat one M&M. Who could? We got to eat the whole stinking bag, right? And I think that as we think about gluttony, as we think about this sin that besets us all, one of the things that we need to remind ourselves of is that Jesus was not as interested in food as we are. Indeed, I want to read you a passage from the Gospel of John where Jesus makes it very clear what he thinks about food. And this comes from John chapter 4. And it's a very familiar story to most of you. It's Jesus and the Samaritan woman. And Jesus ran into the Samaritan woman, by the way, just so you'll have the context for this story, because the disciples had gone into town to buy food. So in verse 31, we pick up the story. The disciples were urging Jesus, "Rabbi, eat something." But Jesus replied, "I have a kind of food that you know nothing about. I have a kind of food that you know nothing about." Well, this goes right over the disciples' heads. "Did someone bring him food while we were gone?" they ask each other. "Can't you see him?" And Jesus explained, "My nourishment comes from doing the will of God who sent me and from finishing his work." You see, Jesus was very clear that his appetite, his God, was not his appetite, but that what nourished him, what he understood to give him real nourishment, was to seek out and do the will of God. You'll remember that when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, the first temptation that Jesus encountered was to turn stones into bread. It's because he had been fasting for some 40 days. He'd been actually going without food for 40 days, and that was the first temptation. Did you remember what Jesus said? Human beings don't live by bread alone. He didn't say we can't eat. Think about what he said. Human beings don't live by bread alone. But I'm telling you, we understand that we have a problem with gluttony when your life might be like mine, and I have a nice breakfast in the morning, and I can get to the church office, and within 5 minutes, I'm thinking about, I wonder what we're going to eat for lunch. Gosh, I wonder where we could go eat for lunch. And again, it's a matter of practice for sure what we're doing, but it's also a matter of what's up here. And I'm going to tell you, the Bible gives us some indications about how we can defeat gluttony, how we can not serve our own appetites, how we can be more like Jesus. And one of those ways is to do what Jesus did, and that is to fast. Now, we don't even want to think about fasting in our culture. And I can tell you, I understand why we don't want to think about fasting. Every time I've ever tried to fast, the first thing I'll do is I'll sit down to watch TV, and every commercial will be a fast food commercial. Or a restaurant commercial, won't it? So, if you're going to fast, Pastor Potts' advice, you better not watch TV. When you get in the car, you better turn the radio off. Okay? So you don't hear all that. But the interesting thing is that when we fast, when we choose to do without food, whether it's for a meal, whether it's for a day, or whether it's for longer, or maybe we choose to do a different kind of fast where we do without solid food. We continue to drink juices and some other things, but we do without solid food for a day. We remind ourselves of one thing. You can miss a meal. Gosh, I just hate to admit this, Lord. You'll live if you miss a meal. You really will. You will live. You will live. And what you may find that is in the time that you are fasting, that you are not focusing on food, you can understand what Jesus really meant when Jesus said, "My food is to do the will of my Father. My food is to do what God wants me to do. My food is to accomplish the mission that God has given to me." Because you see, it's not a sin to eat. It's really not. It's not a sin to eat good food. The problem is when we eat it in excess. And part of the issue with eating this food in excess is when our brothers and sisters around us go hungry. You know, I think that's what's got to drive God crazy more than anything else about the sin of gluttony, is the fact that we would eat and eat and eat and eat while so many in our world go hungry. And if for no other reason than that, that should keep us from gluttony. But again, the way we defeat gluttony is by reminding ourselves that whatever it is that we think we can't live without, The truth is, the only thing we can't live without is God. Amen? That's the only thing. That's the only thing that we can't live without is God. And when we're gluttons for food or gluttons for anything else that comes into our lives, when we're gluttons, when we want more than we should have, when we're going to do whatever we want to do, folks, we got to recognize that we have walked over into a deadly sin. We have walked over into a deadly sin. We really have. And the only way out of that particular deadly sin, the only way out of gluttony, is for us to use what the biblical writers and what the church fathers called temperance. That means that you don't keep eating the M&Ms. You only eat a few. Are you with me? You only eat a few. Now, if you're like me at our house, the problem is that I could only eat a few if Kim Potts wouldn't pour the whole bag into the bowl. It's her fault. I mean, it's really not my fault. Or is it? You know? Is it? Every time I stick my hand in that bowl, who's the person that's, you know, somebody holding the gun to my head, making me stick my hand in the bowl of M&Ms? No. I'm choosing to do that. And sometimes it's about choice. You see, I think one of the greatest gifts that God ever gave to all of us as human beings is the gift to choose. Is the gift to choose. And if we know that what causes us to sin happens to be M&Ms, then we ought to stay away from M&Ms. Amen? That would be one solution, wouldn't it? You stay away from M&Ms. You see, our country did not do us a service when they started to take gas stations and put food in them, particularly food like that kind of food, you know, because then you got to go in and pay for your gas and you go, wow, man, I could, you know, spicy hot Lay's potato chips and a Coke, that's, man, you know. And you know, if they do have bananas or something there, it's good for your fruit. It's always got fruit flies, but you know, it's rotten. You know, it's not like they really want you to go to that. You know, it's over in a little basket somewhere where you can barely see it. But man, Nutter Butters, whoo, man, they're right there, right out in the open. Big packages, right there for you. But it's all about choice. And it's all about us saying to ourselves, I am not going to be a glutton because I am not going to be controlled by my appetite. Because you see, when Paul wrote that, about our appetite being our God. You see, the problem with that is that we are supposed to be the controllers of our appetites. We really should be. We should be the people who control what goes in. We can control our appetites. That should not be our God. And I think as we go through these seven deadly sins, you're going to see almost every one of the seven deadly sins help us walk right into idolatry, which is what the Bible has spoken against from the very beginning, putting something in place of God. And when all I think about is food, and when all I really want is some more M&Ms, and that's my major thought, how can God be a part of that? I've left God out. I've said, what is most important is what's going on in my belly. And my belly becomes my God. My appetite becomes my God, and I forget who it is that I am supposed to be serving. So I encourage you, as you think about your own life, as you think about where you are, maybe, just maybe, this sin of gluttony doesn't need to affect us nearly as much as it does if we would just think about it. If we would just think about it. If we would think about removing temptation from us. If we would think about using our own self-control, our own willpower to go, you know what? I don't have to do that. I don't have to eat those. I don't have to eat two corn muffins when I'm at Cracker Barrel just because they brought me to. Or perhaps you say to the waiter or the waitress, could you only bring me one? Or maybe none. None. Because you see, controlling this, fighting this sin that besets us all, is all about our own self-control. It's all about being able to control ourselves, which, whether you know it or not, is one of the things that Paul talks about in a later scripture as one of the virtues. It's one of the virtues. It's one of the fruits of the Spirit, is being able to control yourself. And you see, I don't think we have this naturally. Indeed, some of the research that's coming out now about self-control says that we only have so much, and you start out with so much, okay, every day. And if you use up all your self-control by 9 o'clock, you better stay the heck away from the M&Ms, okay? Because you're not going to be able to resist them. You are not. So we need to put things in place to help us not be gluttons, to help us not eat more than we should, to help us not let our bellies, our appetites become our gods, but instead recognize, as Jesus said so well, we don't live on food alone. We do not live on food alone. And we need to recognize that any time we allow a bodily function, whether it's our appetites or anything else, control us and become our controller rather than God, then we slid over into idolatry. The good news is that we can do something about this today, can't we? We really can. And we need to ask God to help us not allow our appetites to be our gods anymore. And what I found is that the closer we walk with Christ, the closer that we walk with Christ, the less beset we are and the more able we are to resist all the sins that beset us, all 7 of them, but particularly gluttony. So may we be people who understand where God wants us to be and the fact that our God is an awesome God and not one of our bodily desires. Amen. Amen.